for your life, for allowing Him to change you by conforming to His will in thought, word, and deed. As His disciples, we are all called to be change agents, being change and effecting positive change or godly change in those that are around us. And many of us in here today have heard this leadership statement, growth without change is impossible. Why don't we say that together? Growth without change is impossible. And since God is unchanging, we must be the ones to continue to change. You know, they are unchanging things. God, His Word, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, the gospel message remains the same. And because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. But it's also the power to healing. It's also the power to deliverance. It's also the power of God manifested. It comes through hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so while God in His message never does change, we who present it can change for the better. And the methods can as well in presenting the gospel. And just as this building that we sit in today is only a tool, but a pretty important one, so is what's behind me and the changes that we have made and that you're seeing today is just another tool and the means to help present the gospel more effectively. One thing's for sure, technology used rightly is to be a tool to promote the truth of theology by which we can all be changed by. And I want to make you understand this, make sure of this, make no mistake about it. This isn't about entertainment, but another way of getting the seed of truth planted even deeper in every life. So thank you today as your pastor and the pastor of this church for being difference makers in this continued journey together. Most of you know, or if you've come on a regular basis, back in January of this year, we started a new series entitled Inspired to Change. Amen. We did from January through June 11 messages. Today is going to be the 12th and final message in this series as we prepare to end a new one year, and we're preparing to go into a new year. And so the whole Inspired to Change series has been about inspiring us to want more of God for our lives, inspiring a hunger for God, amen, that causes us to actually desire and seek all that God has for our life. Not just more of God, but all that He has for our lives. And so how many know that's going to be a continual journey? Inspiring a pursuit to know God better. Because no matter who we are and how close we are to Him, all of us, including your pastor, can know God better. And that should be a desire and therefore the reason for the Inspired to Change series. And in knowing God better, how to actually receive all the blessings that He freely gives us. Knowing and experiencing both His love for us and His goodness to us, which both inspires us to change. Because you really can't be touched by His love, by His presence, and by His goodness, and truly not be changed and want to change. Amen. The devil tries to get us out of places like this and moments like this that God can speak to our life and change us. This is why this is so important, because we take time out of a busy schedule to hear not just what your pastor would say, but what God would say through your pastor, what the Word of God says, what the Spirit of God is saying to us today, so our lives can continue to be in inspired to change. Because no matter who we are and where we are, God has more for us. Because He loves us too much to keep us where we are. And His love and His goodness, of course, when His experience does inspire us to change. And for many people, possibly, they, for the very first time in hearing this type of message, understand how God is not against them, but actually always for them. And that by His grace is provided the power by which they are changed from the inside out. How many know that's how God does it? He begins on the inside and He works to the outside. In other words, we're changed in an inner man. The moment you and I make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we become born again. God, by His Holy Spirit, recreates our spirits in the likeness and image of God. He and Christ, God the Father and the Son, come to live in us by the third person of the Godhead. Amen. The Holy Spirit, who dwells in us and works to change and to not only affect the change of eternal life and the new birth, but eminent know to take us in this journey that God has for us, so that not only we are changed, but we actually become the change agents for God in the earth today. And so I say He works for the inside out. Philippians 2 verse 13 says it so well. You can turn that with me. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation today. It says, "For God is working in you." I'm reminding you of this. No matter who you are or where you're at in your life today, if Jesus has been made your Lord, it's God working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Now, what the devil works so strategically to do is to dumb down that voice, to dumb down the voice of God, to dumb down the presence of God by getting you distracted and looking away to Him, looking at all the problems, looking at all the other things. But God says He is working in you and giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Our greatest problem is our own feelings. Many times we say, "Well, I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like God is real." But we must give our attention to the Scripture. When we follow and take God at His word, then those feelings will line up with the Word of God. But we must first go to the Word. What does the Word say? The Word says God is working in us, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Many times we say, "Well, I just don't feel powerful." Well, one reason why is because you haven't operated the power. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. If you want to turn the power on, turn your tongue on and begin to confess and say what God says about you. But too many times, here's what we say: "I don't have enough." Oh, God, where's God? God seems far off. And we talk about people and we criticize and we murmur and complain. All those things make God seem small and far off. But if we would stop doing those things and start doing what God says and recognizing it's Him working in us, giving us the desire, in other words, the want to do the things of God. If we will agree with God, all along there's a desire to do and know God, know God and to do things God's way. Amen. And He gives us the power to do what pleases Him. So many times, "Well, I don't feel powerful." Then start saying what the Word says about you. Let your mouth open and say, "I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have, and I can do what God says I..." The power is in your own mouth. Death and life, power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, "They that love it shall eat the fruit of the fruit thereof." So we eat the fruit of weakness or the fruit of strength, the fruit of death or the fruit of life. You choose. But nonetheless, God is working from the inside out. Can I get an amen in here? And one thing we must learn as well is that no matter how much God loves us, to get God's highest and His best in our lives, we'll have to do things God's way. That means we'll have to know God's will and we'll have to do it. Amen. If we're going to get God's highest and best, we're just going to have to do it God's way. You know, God will bless us as far as He can, but He really can only bless us to the degree that we are walking with Him. as we do things His way. He will not put His approval on our way. He puts His approval on His way. And this is why He tells us what His will is. His will isn't a mystery. So let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 2 a moment. It says in the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you." Everybody say transform you. Let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Oh my, there it is. By changing the way you think. So you can be on the new on the inside, but it really won't manifest on the outside until you change the way you think. Your mind is the conduit between your spirit and your body. And what comes in the mind will affect or cause or allow your spirit to be either held captive or clog the flow of God or release the flow or the power of God by what we think. And we're going to have to think in the line with God's word. Let's go on and read this again. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. In other words, don't be woke. Woke will make you broke. You say, well, I know some people that are woke and they're billionaires. Listen, woke will make you spiritually broke. Because one day when you close your eyes, you're going to meet Almighty God. He's not impressed by all the figures that you had. Matter of fact, I've done plenty of funerals. I've never seen a U-Haul behind the hearse yet, and neither will you. Now, it's nothing matter with having money. The problem is God don't want money to have you. Hallelujah. So God said, don't let the behavior or the custom of this world, don't copy the behavior and the custom of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So the way you think takes what God has done on the inside of us as believers and causing that to manifest through our life in this world. And then you will learn, amen, by changing the way you think, you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. How many know that's good? Notice this word transform. It means to change. It means, the word transform means to change. And you and I are transformed or changed according to the scripture by our thinking or the way we think or thinking differently. And this different thinking must be in line with God's word. This is why we must know the word of God. And then by thinking differently, knowing what God said and then doing it will, doing God's will in our lives is what causes us to be transformed. Thinking differently, knowing what God's will is, and then doing it is what's going to change our life or transform our life. And so today, with the time that we have left, we want to talk about today, if you're taking notes, which I encourage everybody to do, always to bring your Bible. Thank God. Amen. And I know many of you, you know, use it on, you know, use your electronic device, and that's fine. But it's always good to have something to take notes with. Not just by record what I say, but record what the Holy Spirit will say to you about what I say. How many know that could change your life? Praise God. And so today, we're going to entitle today's message, Success Through Change. And I believe that's true, whether it's individual lives or church. I believe success, one way it comes, not the only way, one way it comes is through change. Slide 29, please. Success is the good outcome of an undertaking. This is what the word success means. The good outcome of an undertaking. The accomplishment of purpose. And for us as believers, God's purpose. That's the purpose I'm talking about. The accomplishment of God's purpose. That's what we're going to be successful by. What do we do with what God said? One day, everything else will be burned up. Yes, we could have success, but it'll be limited success in this life by doing certain things. What man calls successful may not be what God calls successful. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us it is not what God calls successful. And many of those things, what man calls successful, would just be burned up one day. But what we want to live for is that one day we stand before the Master because we've made Him the Lord of our life, but we hear something like this, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's going to come through the accomplishment of purpose and God's purpose in our life. So notice success is the good outcome of an undertaking. And maybe one of the best scripture verses that lets us know about success and how us to get success. So we can ask God to make us successful, but God has actually flipped the card on us, or the table, turned it around and says, I'm going to show you how to be successful. See, a lot of times we ask God to make us something that he tells us or shows us in his word how to become. So we want to turn to Joshua 1, verse 8 today, one of the most powerful verses in the scripture. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, this is what we're to be saying all the time, the word of God. The word of God is the book of the law. Amen. You could put it in New Testament terms, God's word. So God's word shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, don't leave your life. This is what you're to be living by, saying and talking. It don't leave your life. Amen. In other words, you never stop speaking what God's word says. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. And the good news is today, if we haven't been speaking it, we haven't been doing it, why not start today? Because all of our lives have to start somewhere. We just have to be bold enough in the spirit to draw a line in the sand and saying, I'm crossing over and I'm going to do it God's way. My way ain't working. Let's do it God's way. But you shall meditate therein. Everybody say meditate. Meditate in what? Meditate in the word of God. That word means to think on, to dwell on. It means to speak, to do. Amen. To think on, to speak, and to do. Many times we think about it as this term of muttering or speaking quietly to oneself. See, we need to be speaking the word to ourselves. We need to be thinking on it continually and speaking it over ourselves and to ourselves. This is what the word meditate in context means here. It means many other things. For time's sake, this is what we're talking about today. Thou shalt meditate therein, how often? Day and night. Day and night. Not when you think it's convenient. Not when you have time for it, day and night. In other words, when you understand that this is going to be the way you are successful, then you're going to have to do it God's way. God's way is not a little dab will do you. Not a here a little, there a little. It's, come on, it's day and night. That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. That means that you observe to do means that you find out what the word says, and then by meditating on it, and then you begin to do it. The practice of meditation takes you from thinking about it to do it. It means, actually the word meditate means premeditate to do. It means to think to do. This is why we're thinking of it, because as we think about the word, it teaches us how to incorporate it, how to imply it or incorporate it and apply it to our lives. That we may observe to do according to all that is written therein, all that is written therein. For then, everybody say then, you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Notice, it tells us how to be prosperous according to God's word and how we can have good success. We try to get it every other way. We try to get it through investments. I'm not against investments, and they have a place. What I'm saying is, stop just thinking naturally. That's important. But that should never supersede the spiritual aspects of your life, because the spiritual aspects of your life are eternal. Yes, we do need to make wise decisions in the natural. Yes, I get that, and we should. I'm not downplaying that. But notice, God says the way to be prosperous and have good success is by the meditation. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. Meditating on God's word will teach you how to do not just the spiritual thing, but also the financial thing. It would teach you not just the spiritual thing, but the relational thing. It would teach you not just the natural thing, but the physical things. Come on, it touches every area of your life. And it says, as we meditate on this day and night and reserve to do, plan to do, then we'll make our way prosperous, and then we will have good success. How many can testify, like myself, that the word does change you, and it changes the course and direction of our lives. Come on. Can I get an amen in here today? How many can testify? Look at the hands. Look at the hands for all the gainsayers that say it not only changes your life, but changes the course of your life. And I want you to know that God is not a respecter of persons, but God is a respecter of faith. And you cannot boldly claim what you are unsure that God offers. And so this is why, once again, this is so important, and this is why it's so important we talk about it, because the local church is like a school you go to relearn how to live again, and you don't graduate until you die. Slide 30, please. So success is not a destination, but rather a journey. Everybody say a journey. Slide 31, please. Journey means the act of traveling from one place to another. It also means the long and often difficult process, everybody say ow, the long and often difficult process of personal change and development. Amen. So we understand a journey means to go from one place to another, but it also means the long and often difficult process of personal change and development. You know, we want everything, a drive-through. We want everything quick fix. But the scripture says it's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Amen. And so therefore, sometimes this journey is protracted. In other words, as long as we're going to go after success, there's going to be a journey in it. In other words, we don't arrive, but we're always on the way. It doesn't mean that we don't experience it. It means that we experience. But how many know that one success doesn't mean where God wants you to end at? He wants you to keep being successful. So therefore, it's the long and often difficult process of personal change and development. Notice why it's difficult, because it's personal change and development. When everybody else has to change, it's not a problem. But it's when you and I have to change, that's when it becomes a problem. Look at your neighbor and say, he's telling the truth. And this journey, hallelujah, glory to God, this journey is all about God changing us and taking us from where we are to where He wants us to be in life. And that, in other words, that means the steps that we must take. Hallelujah. Is the scripture says very clearly, it's the steps of a righteous man and woman that are ordered by God. You know, today I look out over this congregation and I see the many lives that have been changed by God. And one thing is for sure, God's changes are always for our good. For He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And in changing us, He calls us to be those change agents. Where what was said about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 7 and chapter 10 verse 7 is also said about us. As Jesus said, I've come to do thy will, O God. We too would say, God, I have come to do thy will and what is written about me in the scriptures. Amen. And when we like Jesus, I'm going to say it again. When we like Jesus, understand that our lives have purpose. Everybody say purpose. Our lives have purpose. When we understand our lives have purpose, have meaning and destiny, it produces an expectation and a desire to be part of something that is making a difference. And how many know the kingdom of God is what you and I are called to make a difference in? And the local church is part of such, is part of that and part of each of our connection to help building it. For Jesus said, write it down, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. How many know His kingdom is unshakable? And in His kingdom, as part of His church, He said, I will build it. And amen? So that everything that can be shaken will be shaken, and only the things that are unshakable will remain. And how many know that God wants us not to be shaken with the world? He wants us to be world changers and shake the world by His mighty power. But what we find, like we already know, there are many enemies to our lives that try to prevent this very thing in our lives. You know, many times we talk about, we're going to talk about something different today. Many times we talk about one of the things that trip us up in life is unforgiveness. How many know unforgiveness will really trip us up in life? How many know bitterness and offense will trip us up in life? But how about complacency? Complacency. Both as an individual, but also as a church. Former NBA coach Pat Riley, slide 32, please, once said, complacency is the last hurdle any winner and team, and I'll add to it, any church must overcome before attaining its potential greatness. So complacency is a great enemy, and all of us should know this. Not in just an individual or any team, but also any church. And we must understand, well, so what is complacency, Pastor Chris? Well, complacency, one thing is the an unhealthy satisfaction. What did you say, love, at the beginning of this year? We need to have a dissatisfaction for being satisfied. Amen. At the very beginning of this year in the prayer series, God wants us to have a dissatisfaction for satisfaction. In other words, where we don't think we have arrived. In other words, there's something that's always pushing us deeper, further on with Him. It doesn't mean that we're not content in the things of God and thankful for what we have, but there's not this complacency where we think and we fooled ourselves in thinking that we arrived or that we cannot continue to change, maybe because we're too old or I don't want to anymore. But complacency is not only an unhealthy dissatisfaction. The reason why it's so dangerous is because it stops that journey in God, either individually or as a church, and we must never stop. We must push on, forgetting the things that are behind and pressing forward the things that are before, as Philippians 3:13 tells us. Write it down and go read it later. Well, we must understand, notice he said it is the last hurdle before attaining potential greatness. So the word potential is a great word that sometimes is never talked about, but I'm going to briefly give you some definitions of this word so you can write it down. We won't put it up, but potential is, what is potential? Potential is latent, untapped, and unused ability. Here's what potential is. Potential is who you are, you just haven't been Him yet. Come on, I'm going to say it again. Potential is untapped, latent, untapped, and unused ability. Potential is who you are, you just haven't been it yet. Potential is what you can do, you just ain't done it yet. Glory to God. Potential, therefore, commands change. Change for the better. Being who God says we are. Doing what God says we can do. All because of His power in us. Everybody say success through change. Let's say it again. Success through change. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And a fact that too few realize is where you're through changing, you're through. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, I know you're not through yet. Come on. Look at your other neighbor. Say, I know you're not through. Glory be to God. So to improve is to change. Now listen, in any change, even change for the better, are usually accompanied by drawbacks and discomforts. That's why we don't like to change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now one thing, I'm going to tell you a little joke. I don't want you to take it the wrong way because you are, look at your neighbor and say, you are a change agent. I saw this little cartoon one day that I thought was, it's not true of you, but it can be true of the church. It said, it was a book of jokes about you might be a pastor if. And it says, you may be a pastor if the only thing that likes to be changed around church are baby diapers. I thank God that's not true about you, because you understand that we are all called to be change agents. Amen. But notice there's a drawback that comes with this, and discomforts, things that make us uncomfortable in the process. Because sometimes they become inconvenient to us. They're not the way they used to be. It's not how I used to do. But how many know that we, when we really get saved, it's no longer about us. We're supposed to die to ourselves, and we're supposed to want what God wants for us. For we've been bought with a price, and therefore glorify God with our body and our spirits, which are God's. And we should be contributors to the cause of Christ and move with God and know that there's going to be things that cause us to change. And with change will be some discomforts many times to some, not with everybody, but they can be. Think about a time in your own life where there was something that changed, that produced something uncomfortable for you. Many of you, it was the day that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life because you were so excited. But then when you walked away, all hell broke loose against you. And things happen. Why? Because you live in a fallen world and the devil comes to steal the word. And so he wants you to be uncomfortable with following Jesus. But this is why you must know that with change, there will be some discomforts. But those changes are actually for your better. Not what the devil trying to work, but what God is working in your life. Can I get an amen? Slide 33, William Booth, who is the founder of the Salvation Army, said it like this: you cannot improve the future without disturbing the present. So if we're to better our future, we must disturb our present. And that's true individually and corporately. In other words, we're not stuck. Amen. We need to understand that, you know, that things do change. And the things that don't change is God, His Word. But we are change agents, and we are the business of not only change and being more like Christ, but also helping others to change and do the same thing. But not just individually, as a church. So we must understand that. A truth that we must come to realize is that if we want CFC to grow, and I believe you do, how many want CFC to grow? Then we must each be willing to grow personally, and that means that we must change. See, everybody looks and expects the pastor to grow and change, and he should. But the truth is, or we look at others and say, well, I hope they're growing, but what are we, instead of looking at someone else, why aren't we looking at ourselves and saying, we are the ones. We're not waiting for anyone else to change. We are going to be the change. We're going to be the spark. We're going to be what we desire to see. That means that we are to change. Therefore, this is why the whole entire change series that we have done this year. And so change will be required personally and as a church to do what is written about us and what we're called to do. And how many know we're called to win and disciple people to Christ? In order for us to get good at that, we're going to have to be better at it. It means we're going to have to change, because all of us are responsible to this. This is not the vision for a few. This is a vision that God gives every disciple of His. It just happens to be the vision of this church. But it's what God has called His church to do to begin with. Everybody say success through change. And many times the power of change comes through vision. So I'm going to close today talking about the power of vision, because many times the power to change in any life or any church comes and will come through vision. We see this all through the Word of God. Let me explain to you. This is especially true in the believer's life when the believer begins to see who God really is. I'm telling you, it inspires change in our life when we see God for who He truly is. Remember, the devil is bad, God is good. The devil is the oppressor, God is the blesser. Come on. When you get to understand and really see who God is, and that He wants to be a personal Savior, a personal healer, a personal Redeemer. Come on. All those things, if you really see who He is, that inspires us to change, because we can't get close to God without it changing us. It also changes us when we see what He's done for us. In other words, the inheritance that He provides for us should light our fire. It should make us so overwhelmingly happy and thankful and joyous of everything He's provided for us. Just to know, even if it's only hope now that you can be healed, hope begins and it doesn't end if it's done correctly, because now faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not yet seen. So your hope turns into faith, which brings to pass the inheritance of healing and the other provisions that God has given us. But we must hear it in order for it to go to produce hope in our life, which proceeds to faith and turns to that so that you and I can receive. But I can tell you, when you and I see not only who God is, but what God has done and provided inheritance for us, it does cause us to change. When we see those things, everybody say, see those things. In other words, vision. I'm not talking about, listen, sight is a function of your eyes. Vision is a function of your heart. And the vision I'm talking about comes through seeing God's vision through His word for your life. And then seeing who God has made you. Seeing who God is, seeing what God has provided, an inheritance, and seeing who God has made you. Who He's made you in Christ. Because when you see who He's made you to be, it changes things. Because you realize you ain't who you used to be. You are who God says you are. You have what God says you have, and you can do what God says you can do. And this is vision, or what God wants you to see. Amen. The problem is, where there is no vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29:18, turn with me there, please. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. What does it mean, the people perish? Well, obviously it means that we can be destroyed, our lives. With lack of vision, not only our lives are destroyed, but I find this interesting. Many of the translations, and this Hebrew word, the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, not only means perish, but it actually means to cast off restraint. Some translations say it this way. It means cast off. What do you mean? Where there is no vision. In other words, to see what God sees, without seeing what God says we're to see, then we cast off restraint. It means that we run wild. The word cast off restraint means that we run wild. It means that we do things the way we want to do them. In other words, we do our own thing. How many know that's dangerous? That's why we perish. Because when we do our own thing, we cannot get God's things. I'm going to say it again. While we do our things, we cannot get God's things. It's doing God's thing, God's way, that get His will for our lives. And so therefore, slide 34, vision is the ability to see what God is saying and doing. Vision means to see what God sees and says to do. So here's what we need to understand concerning this. Vision affects both where you go or where you're headed and what you will do in life. If you don't like where you're going, stop it. If you look at your life today and you don't like the success of it, stop it. Don't blame it on God. Realize that God allows you U-turns. He allows us to change, but it's going to be through our choices to do it God's way. And I remind you, it's not always comfortable, because your flesh will kick and scream, and the devil will lie to your mind. And sometimes your friends will say, what's happening to you? You ain't calling me like you used to. Well, you know what? I'm going to church on Wednesday nights now. Well, that's that old time to run around and gossip and talk, and well, I can't do that no more. Now, I'm going to invite you to come with me because I'm being buttered. But see, what happens is many times we sheepishly, you know, give excuses and say, well, you know, I just don't. No, tell them the truth. You know, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Come on. And so God is changing me. And the truth is, I'm not going to be able to do some of the things I used to do in order to get the results I want in my life. Praise be to God. And so we have to understand, vision affects both where we go or headed and what we'll do. Let's put up slide 35. It says, one person said like this, if you don't know where you're going, you're likely to end up somewhere else. That's the problem with many Christians. They never know what vision is. So they really don't know where they're going. Let's put up slide 36 and say it like this. You could also, likewise, if you don't know what you're to be doing, you're likely to end up doing something else. Because of vision, we individually as a church can know who we are, we can know what we're doing, and where we're headed, and that's the power to change. Biblically speaking, there are many examples of how the power to change came through vision. God's vision, the casting of what God says and sees and says. How many know that God wants us to have His 2020 vision? It's one thing to see with these eyes. It's another thing to see with your heart. And God wants us to have 2020 vision. And I'm fitting you today for 2020 vision. Because the truth is, God wants us to have it. He wants us to have His vision. And I'm going to say it again. There are many examples in the Scripture of the power to change came through vision. It comes through seeing what God sees and says to do. That changes everything. And remember, this is how success comes in all of our lives. Success comes through change. Amen. So what I'm going to do today is leave you with one of the best examples of success through change that is still affecting the entire world today. Amen. And this change brought success to the first disciples in the early church, and it is still bringing it to every real disciple in the church today. And we find it in John 16 and verses 12 through 16. We're going to read this, and everybody say success through change. Hallelujah. We're going to read this. These are the words to Jesus on the night that He was betrayed. He's preparing them for His departure. And He talked about the Helper that was going to be sent, the Holy Spirit. Everybody say change. And so here's what He says among, I'm making this as short as possible for time's sake, but He says, I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And He says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that shall He speak and will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and I will show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine, therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you. And for a little while, and yet you see Me, a little while, and yet you, yet, and ye shall not see Me. And again a little while, ye shall see Me, because I go unto the Father. Now here's what I want you to understand. Jesus is telling them that He's preparing them for His departure. He's preparing them for a change that's about to come, that is going to produce success in their life in the sending of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Because just like Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit in the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God descended Him and enabled Him to do ministry for those 3.5 years, He's telling them that the Holy Spirit is going to take His place with them. And now they are going to be empowered just like He was to do and extend His ministry on the earth. But it's going to look like a failure, but He was preparing them for success in this change that was coming. In other words, He is saying, I'm going to leave and the Holy Ghost is going to come. Can you imagine that's not what they wanted to hear? Can you imagine how they thought and how they felt about Jesus leaving? And Jesus, we've already said You're the Son of God. And Jesus, You'll always be with us. But Jesus leaving and sending the Holy Spirit, who will take everything that Jesus is and has and show it to us. The truth is, He's saying to His disciples, you won't and you can't learn what you need to know without the Holy Spirit. And He's going to come. And He's going to change your life. You know what? That was a discomfort. Because every moment they walked with Him, every moment they had an issue, they could depend upon Him. They could see the power. They could feel the power. They could experience the love. They could see it in action. All those things that were benefited of their lives for 3.5 years. Even the correction that was never rejection but redirection for their protection. Now He's saying the ultimate change was coming, that He was leaving them and the Holy Spirit was coming. But what they were not understanding immediately was Jesus is saying success was going to come through this change. And the Holy Spirit has come to change not just them, but the Holy Spirit has come to change us. Come on. When Jesus said those things, they might not truly understood, even though he said it repeatedly. But the moment He left, and on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God poured out, revelation knowledge came like never before, because that is the part of the work and parcel of the Holy Spirit, taking what they were unable to hear Jesus say and now explaining them hear what Jesus wanted to say, yet He left unuttered. Now the Holy Spirit is revealing and making those things real and leading them into the success and this change that was necessary for them to fulfill the will of God. And this change, hallelujah, may not have been the one that they wanted, but is exactly what they needed. And how many know there's sometimes change comes, it's not necessarily what we want, but it's exactly what we needed. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has come, church. He has come to change us in the new birth, imparting eternal life and empowering us through the baptism of the Holy Spirit to continue the ministry of Jesus today in reaching the world. They then, like many now, didn't see it coming. Amen. But it was God's change for their success, and the truth is, it was for ours too. So I got a question for us all today. So what is God saying to us today? One thing He's saying is success comes through change. And change comes through vision. The ability to see what God is saying and doing. And He's always saying, you need Me. He's always saying, you need the Holy Spirit. You all, and yes, you have Him in the new birth. But if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you need Him. Because He needs you to continue to be an extension of the work and the ministry of Jesus Christ in this earth. Amen. So it comes, what the much of the change comes in our lives through vision, the ability to see what God sees and says to do. And only the Holy Spirit can give you that, can give you the 2020 vision for your life. To show how we exist to win and disciple people to Christ, and how you see yourself in that picture, and how you can be part of those change agents. Because of our God-given vision here today, has it changed? We can only get better as individuals and as a church in reaching and presenting the gospel, but the vision itself never changes, and that is we exist to win and disciple people to Christ. It's true for each of us. So why would God want us to continue to change? Because not only is your success dependent upon it, but someone else's success may also be. You've heard me say many times, when God saved you, He had someone else on His mind. Because ultimately, whatever God has done to you, He wants to do through you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ron, why don't you come this morning? You know, I believe today that this Inspired to Change series, even though it's been a while since we talked about it, today God is letting us know the purpose of change. One purpose of change is to produce the success in our lives, because God always has more, and the good and the more is always good. But it's always in line with His Word. Today, I'm believing that it is just that we as a church stand together and we say we're not going to be complacent. We're going to continue to move forward. We're to use every tool that God gives us to advance the gospel. And in those tools, we're gonna use them that we are changed ourselves, that we're better instructed by. And as well as being touched by, we will also be an extension of and by. That those tools not only teach us and reach us, but they teach and they reach others. Amen. And they prepare us, as we always have, to be prepared to go out and make a difference in this world. Are we inspired to change today? Complacency is the enemy that we must get out. We must say, we must never say that we've arrived. We must say, Lord, here I am. Do in me what you want to do. Here's what I'm smart enough to realize today. That the change that you need may be different than the change that's next to you, the person next to you. But be sure all of us could have places of change. If nothing else, to move us from the place of complacency of where we've been or where we're at. Maybe sometimes realizing that we're stuck, but we don't have to be. It can just be as simple as saying, I make a choice to move forward. I make a choice to change. It could be as simple as spending more time meditating on the Word of God so that you know to do according to all that is written therein. Then you'll make your way successful. Then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. The simple changes of your daily walk and fellowship with God, that you have one. Listen, it's more than to realizing that you're saved. You realize you're saved, but you there's things that God will speak into your heart that you know that you need to change, to improve on. All of us can, even the closest person with God, I live by these same things. I have to ask myself those hard questions. And the good news is, we should not allow those that are around us, their lifestyle, to condemn us. They should inspire us. You know, in other words, the people that are more on fire for us, we should allow that instead of condemning us to say, I can do that. If I would just learn to do it God's way, that's the only way they're successful. The way any of us are successful is doing things God's way. And it's going to take spending time with God. I think about back in the 1990s, Pastor Debbie is going to the shipyard every day. 20 years in the shipyard. Me, 15 years as a meat manager. I think about getting up early and spending time with God. I think about making sure that was a priority before I even ate. And then while I ate breakfast that morning, I was still reading the Word, and then had time of prayer, and then leaving and going that 30-minute drive that I had. She had a much longer drive, obviously, but I had a 30-minute drive. I always prayed every morning there, and then, you know, I did the things that were going to cause me to grow. We took 3x5 index cards and wrote scriptures down on them, things that spoke about who God was and who God has made us. And I put those on. Why? Because I knew that God would change us, but He had changed us from the inside. But that change on the inside had to be manifested on the outside, and it was going to come through the renewing of our mind. And our success would become through the change that we're willing to be changed by God and be vulnerable to God and have the hard conversations with God, getting down on my hands and knees and crying out. I remember the night that I got down on my hands and knees and looked out that window and that little double-wide trailer that we were in, and I cried out to God on a starry night and said, God, I know I'm called to win people to Christ. But God, you're going to have to show me how to do it better than I'm doing it. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to give me your heart. I cried out with tears and asked Him. See, we have encounters with God that says we haven't arrived. And are we convicted in the right way to move forward with God? And then God can show us. It could be about relationships in here tonight, today. It could be relationships that aren't right, but you know need to be made right, and you can't wait for somebody else to make it right. You have to do what's right. And God will speak to you about that. I can tell you 1,000-pound weight will come off your shoulder when you do it God's way. You can't be concerned and say, well, I'm waiting on them. No, God expects you to take that step. There could be, and the list goes on, the point is that all of us in our lives will have success through change. And we as individuals and we as a church, I'm asking you, are you willing? As I lead it, and as we go together under the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our, and the Holy Spirit, who is our general, who's we getting marching orders from, the architect and the general of the plan of the kingdom of God, will lead us into His plan to win the disciple people of Christ. How many people are with me to say, God, help me to be that person. Help me to get over me. Help me to get over me because of all you've done for me. And you won't arrive there overnight, but it's about the willingness. That God sees that willingness and that heart hunger and that honesty to Him, He began to work. That night I cried out was a beginning of a change that I'm still being changed by today. But I think about a moment of change. And today, if you want God to change something in your life, it begins by you changing your thinking that God, what His Word says, He can and He will if He can change how you think about it. And then you act that way. You act on His Word. So in other words, if you need finances, you stop saying I'm broke. Where it's going to come from? Everybody else gets the blessing instead of me. You open your mouth and say, God, You're El Shaddai, Almighty God. You supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you're going to have to learn to do it His way. Not only are you going to have to speak, but you're going to have to act. In other words, you give unto Him. Not because He needs it, but because you need it. You need it. You need the door open for His blessing. And God can do it. You may need healing in your body. We heard a wonderful testimony this morning. Many of you were here several weeks ago when we had a altar call and a prayer line. And many people came for healing. We just had a testimony. That person just said that they had gone and gotten a CAT scan, and it showed a tumor in their body, and they came that day and had us pray for them along with many other people. They testified today and said, I went back because I had to go back, and they did the scan and it's completely gone. Pastor Chris, the tumor is completely gone. Come on, somebody ought to shout and give God praise for what God has done. Am I right, sister? Praise God. Amen, brother and sister. Amen. One day we're going to get you to give that testimony. Amen. Today, whatever we have need of, God is there. But we're going to, in order to get it to us, stop thinking about poor, pitiful old me. Think about what God has done for you. And then activate that promise. Activate that promise. Who will say today, I want to win the disciple people to Christ? Who's willing to stand and say, I'm going to pray over you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, stand if that is in your heart. Father, thank you today. All over this place, you see the people that you're working in. Father, do in them what only you can do, so that they are not only changed, but affect this change, this success through change that takes us where you want us to go as individuals and as a church, all for your glory. And we'll be sure to give you the praise and give you the glory. I call your people on fire, difference makers, change agents, winning and disciple people to Christ, a soul winning church, a disciple making church, a praying church, and a church that walks in your redemptive realities. And we give you praise for it, Lord. May it be in every heart and every life. Make it so, Lord, as they've opened to you today. Help them to see it so they can be it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. You may be seated here today. You know, the truth is, before we leave here today, listen to me. We've all come the same way. Listen to what I'm getting ready to say. We all have to come to God the same way, or we don't come at all. And God's way is Jesus. That's true for everyone. Think about this. Think about what I'm getting ready to say. We sing a song, "Just As I Am." You know, the truth is, God invites us to come just as we are, but not to stay as we are. I'm going to say it again. God invites us to come as we are, but not to stay as we are. And the first success through change that we must experience is to be born again. So we can come to God. Think about it. If you're here today, there's never been a time you made Jesus the Lord of your life. You might not known how. You might not known that you needed to. You might not ever known about the God's love for you, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God demonstrated His own love towards us, that even while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. So imagine this, when we could care less about a loving God, Romans 5:6 says, Christ died for us when we had rejected Him and even hated Him in many cases, so to speak. It didn't stop God coming or sending His Son to die for us. And so today, the good news is we don't have to clean ourselves up to come to God. We come as we are, and in coming as we are, we don't stay as we are, because He changes us from the inside out. It's called the new birth. It's called salvation. It's called being saved or being born again. Would you bow your hearts and heads with me in closing?